The text for our consideration this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. It's just not quite the same, is it? This account, this beginning of the account of the birth of Jesus. There's no decree from Caesar Augustus, no traveling for Mary and Joseph to the little town of Bethlehem, no vacancy signs in all of the inns so that Jesus had to be born where the animals slept, no shepherds out in their fields being addressed by the angels. This account of Jesus' birth, at least the beginning of it, seems a little less exciting from what we have in Luke's gospel. But if you didn't know it, today is actually the day when we observe the Annunciation of our Lord, the announcement of Jesus' impending arrival. In his gospel, Luke focuses on what the angel said to Mary, telling her of God's plan of fulfilling his promise of sending a Messiah through her. But here in Matthew's gospel, he focuses a little bit more on the role that Joseph played. Why? I mean, what was it that Joseph did that was all that important? Doesn't Mary, the Blessed Virgin, deserve our attention? Or even better, doesn't Jesus deserve our attention? Why focus on Joseph? Well, this morning, let's take a quick look at two things that Joseph did. Well, more precisely, two things that Joseph did not do to make sure that you can get to heaven. First off, Joseph did not divorce his wife. The fact that Mary was found to be with child was scandalous, to be sure. You see, Joseph and Mary were already husband and wife. In those days, once a couple was betrothed, as our text says, they were, for all intents and purposes, considered to be married. There had been a ceremony at which promises had been made, vows had been taken, the betrothal ceremony. And after that, there was a set amount of time before the husband and wife would start living together. And in that in-between time, they were still considered to be married. And that's where Joseph and Mary were at. They were in that in-between time of being betrothed and actually living together. So imagine the shock when Joseph found out that his wife was pregnant and he was not the father. This shock, however, didn't turn into anger. It didn't turn into disgust. He didn't expose Mary to public shame to somehow get back at her. In fact, according to Old Testament law, Mary was subject to being stoned to death because of her adultery. But Joseph didn't want that. His concern was not revenge. His concern was not spite. His concern was protection. Protection of the woman that he loved. And that's why he wanted to divorce her quietly, which he could very easily have done by simply writing out a letter of divorce and giving it to her, not making a public scene out of it at all. You see, had Joseph divorced his wife, had he made a public spectacle out of this whole situation, Mary might not have lived. And if Mary had been stoned for her supposed sin, what would have happened to the one who was to come to save you from your sins? the little Lord Jesus would have died long before he ever made it to the cross. And had he never made it to the point of making a payment for your sins, you would still be in your sins. But Joseph did not divorce his wife. The second thing he did not do was that he did not take part in the conception of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, or the angel to whom that was speaking to Joseph, drove that point home very clearly, saying that that child that was to be born of Mary was from the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus had to be born of a virgin so that the sin that's passed down normally through normal conception would not be passed down to Jesus. You see, if Jesus had been conceived in a normal way with a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, then he would have been just a normal man with sinful thoughts, a normal man who acted on those sinful thoughts. And if that had happened, if he had been just a normal man, what good would it have been for him to go to his death on the cross? His death would have been like any other death of any other person. It wouldn't have had any kind of power. It wouldn't have had any kind of significance for you. But because Joseph did not take part in the conception of Jesus, there was no sin passed on to him. Jesus was conceived without any sin because he was no ordinary man. He was the God-man, fully human and fully God at the same time. And so when Jesus lived his life, his perfect life, without ever sinning, and then went to the cross to pay the payment, the penalty for your sins, that payment meant something. That payment was from the perfect God-man, and that payment wiped your slate clean. Now you do realize that your slate needs wiping, right? That's not always easy to admit. It's much easier to think of ourselves as somehow being above needing forgiveness of our sins. After all, doesn't the angel say about this child to be born of Mary that he would save his people from his sins? And aren't we a part of his people? And if we're a part of his people, why do we have to worry about our sins potentially dragging us down, keeping us out of heaven? I think I'm much better off not dwelling on all of that negative thought. I think I need to concentrate more on how I don't sin all that much compared to all the other people out there, the bad people who are not God's people. I'm one of God's chosen people. I hold a special place in his heart. Don't tell me about my sins. Now, I'm going to stop there before you think I'm getting a little too delusional. We all have to admit every day that we are sinners, that we sin so often and so much, that we constantly need that forgiveness that Jesus provides for us. That forgiveness God grants to us graciously through his means of grace, through his word, through his sacraments. And that forgiveness, that grace is our lifeblood. It's how we survive every day. And that source of life would have been dried up if Jesus had not been born of a virgin. But because Joseph listened to and did what the angel told him, because he did not divorce his wife, because he had no part in the conception of Jesus, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, and therefore was perfect. And he was born under the law to redeem those under the law, namely to redeem us. On this day when we observe the Annunciation of our Lord, listen to that announcement with joy, because that announcement of Jesus, the one who was to come, that same Jesus has saved you from your sins, and he has given you eternal life now and forever in heaven. Amen. Please rise. Let us join in the prayer for today. Collect number 50 on page 153 in the front of the hymnal. O Almighty God, of your great mercy, you caused your Son to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and to become incarnate of the Blessed Virgin Mary according to the angel's annunciation. Grant us by your grace that our sinful conception may be purified by his holy conception, through the same your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.